The U.S. Supreme Court has changed the legal landscape in several major areas of the law. First, when, if ever, school officials may conduct strip searches of students for drugs. Second, the right of criminal defendants to cross-examine crime lab analysts. And third, when federal courts may act to enforce federal mandates on the states. Which is the case that NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg begins with.
In a case involving the federal law on English language education, the court made it easier for state schools to get out from under federal court supervision. The 5-4 decision could have far-reaching consequences for litigation seeking to enforce other federal standards on mental hospitals, prisons, and other state institutions. In a case involving the strip search of a 13-year-old honor student, the court put new limits on how far school officials can go in searching students. By an 8-1 vote, the court said it was reasonable to search Savannah Redding's backpack and outer garments, but not reasonable to subject the girl to a strip search, especially in light of the humiliating nature of such a search, the limited dangers of the ibuprofen she was suspected of giving a friend, and the slim basis for the school officials' suspicions. The court did hand school officials one partial victory by making its ruling prospective, meaning that while school officials in the future can be subject to personal damage suits, in this case, the suit against the officials who searched Redding was tossed out. Redding, nonetheless, was elated.
I feel victorious right now. I don't want this to ever happen to anybody, and it makes it all worthwhile for me.
The court's third ruling, requiring crime lab analysts to testify, will undoubtedly have the most immediate consequences. The decision delivered a major jolt to the criminal justice system. Until yesterday, prosecutors in the vast majority of states submitted notarized reports from crime lab analysts as evidence in criminal trials, and the analysts were not required to testify. But yesterday, a bitterly divided Supreme Court said that procedure is unconstitutional unless the defense agrees to it. Writing for the 5-member majority, Justice Antonin Scalia said the Constitution, in specific words, guarantees a defendant the right to confront the witnesses against him. And a crime lab analyst, he said, is a witness with important evidence. Indeed, said Scalia, multiple studies have demonstrated that scientific evidence is hardly immune to manipulation, fraud, or error. An angry Justice Anthony Kennedy, in dissent, accused the majority of defying common sense to put the criminal justice system in jeopardy. As of today, only 10 states appear to have state laws that comply with the Supreme Court's decision. Scott Burns of the National District Attorneys Association said the decision would be costly and chaotic.
In the real world, it's bad for already stressed state budgets. I mean, we're going to have criminalists who should be in the labs doing their work, sitting in courtrooms all day.
Alabama Deputy Attorney General Corey Mays, who filed a brief in the case on behalf of 35 states, said the decision is not as bad as it could have been, since the Supreme Court provided something of a roadmap for state compliance. Require the prosecution to notify the defense pre-trial when crime lab reports are to be introduced, and if the defense wants the analyst to testify, it must say so in advance of trial. Corey Mays.
The question then simply becomes, do defense attorneys always demand the presence, or do they do like they do currently, only demand in 5-10% of cases? We won't know that, you know, at least for the next couple of years.
If prosecutors were upset by the ruling, though, some leading forensic experts were not. Thomas Bohan, president of the National Academy of Forensic Scientists, called the decision a no-brainer.
Many of the techniques which are thought by the public and by judges to have been scientifically established have not been. And this includes handwriting analysis, bite mark matching. It includes latent fingerprints, which have never been quantitatively studied to determine the error rate.
Remember the FBI's 100% match of a Portland lawyer's fingerprints with those found on the detonators of a Spanish train bomb? 3 FBI experts vouched for the match until Spanish authorities matched an Algerian suspect instead. Peter Neufeld of the Innocence Project notes that forensic scientists for years produced reports of hair matches without mentioning that the hair also matched thousands of other people's hair.
We have had more than 36 wrongful conviction cases where the crime analyst wrote a report saying the hair matched.
Indeed, last February, a report by the National Academy of Sciences found crime labs across the country plagued by incompetence, fraud, and just plain bad science. The report called for the creation of a federal agency to establish standards for crime lab testing. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.